Leicester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, here we go. First show of 2017 here tonight on the heels of the Blitz. And AJ Hoffman and Fred Fowler, we welcome you in here tonight. This is exciting. So much to talk about here today. Specifically, Tottenham Hotspur with a 2-0 win over Chelsea today breaks the 13-game streak of the Blues. This was a huge derby match, a rivalry match in London. If you watch this game today, whether you're a Spurs fan or a Chelsea fan, I want to get your thoughts on this here today, fresh off this game this afternoon. This had it all. Acoustics, fans, passion. Commitment into every tackle, every pass, everything magnified. It was a spectacular game here today. And Spurs behind Dele Alli and two headers off some tremendous build-up play. Christian Eriksen, Dembele running things in midfield. Absolutely fantastic game. So let's talk about it tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in here tonight. I do have some guests that are going to break this game down with me as well, including Warren Barton of Fox. He's an analyst over there. You know him from being on the show quite a bit, played in the Premier League with Newcastle United. Tom Marshall will make a call a little bit later on in the show over to Manchester, England. Yes, he normally resides in Guadalajara. He's over in England taking in games. He did watch the Spurs game today against Chelsea. And we'll get Tom's thoughts on things as well. Dylan Remick is a new Dynamo defender. Left back. Comes from the Seattle Sounders. Played his college soccer in the Ivy League at Brown. He'll come on the show tonight here. He, along with others, will be introduced to the press and at a fan event tomorrow. Alongside the other new signings, including center back Adolfo Machado. Attacker Romel Kyoto, the Honduran, and also Albert Ellis, another Honduran, and then Juan David Cabezas, I think, will be there as well. So he's the ball winner who's going to play in that holding role for the Houston Dynamo. So I would also say to you, if you got thoughts on Spurs, Chelsea, let's get them in. How about a little bit of talk also about the Dynamo and their signings? Are you optimistic as a Dynamo fan now? Are you or not? That's what I'd like to know. 713-780-3776 is the number, 713-780-3776. Now, despite the loss today, everybody's writing Chelsea's name on the title in the Premier League. Not so fast. It's only a five-point lead now. And the yearly question, again, bubbling to the forefront, is again around Arsene Wenger and Arsenal. So, Arsenal fans, what do you have to say about Wenger? Epic fail in the first half. I mean, unbelievable against Bournemouth. Go down 3-0, only to fight back. They earn a 3-3 draw. And, of course, he's going to position it in the media, the character of his team and all that. Now, look, I have no dog in the fight in the Premier League. Bottom line, no dog in the fight. Everybody always asks me, what's your team? You know, if anything, I remember watching a highlight show as a kid and seeing a lot of Manchester United and the lore and the history. And I do like United, but I also am very conscious of the fact that so many of these teams have history. They may not have the winning history of Manchester United. But when there was only a first division, there were also teams like Leeds that were spectacular. All these other differing teams that, you know, aren't in the Premier League now that just have these ridiculous histories because of how far back the game goes in England. So I don't have a dog in the fight. But I would just say that 3-3 draw between Arsenal and Bournemouth, now that's entertainment. That's five-star entertainment. That's not boring. Now, if you're somebody who has a dog in the fight, then you get a little bit more critical, but that was entertainment. So let's talk about that tonight. Also, the Dynamo going to introduce, as I mentioned, Albert Ellis, Romel Kyoto, both from Honduras, Adolfo Machado from Panama City, Dylan Remick from the Seattle Sounders, and then their holding midfielder, who's their latest signing, Juan David Cabezas, who's a ball-winning midfielder. So you didn't get that number 10 that a lot of people have been talking about. And I'm going to go over player by player what I think about these signings, how they fit with the Dynamo, how they fit in with Wilmer Cabrera. These moves got Wilmer Cabrera all over them. And that's part of the reason why he was hired. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. I've got a thumbs up, thumbs down segment. We've got these wonderful interviews with Warren Barton of Fox, Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, and Dylan Remick. These are going to be great interviews. I'm really looking forward to doing them. And then I want to get your opinion, though. And 2017 is for you. You make the show here. The interviews, your opinions. So don't be afraid to get on the phone and make a phone call to 713-780-3776. Now, after that event tomorrow, which I think is open to the public, to Dynamo fans tomorrow at 6 o'clock, head over to the King's Court. We're going to go over there discuss some of the moves. It's great food and drink there. So it's King's Court right there on the southern side of the stadium. It's the closest bar to the stadium. So head over there. It's got a nice pub feel, and they are sponsors of the show, which we do appreciate. And out of all the bars in the area, the King's Court is the one that is behind soccer. So I hope you, the soccer fan, considers that when you decide where to get your food and drink. Olivier Giroud, was this the greatest goal you've ever seen? The scorpion kick? I know that's a kind of a blanket statement to say. It may be a reach, because goals and the criteria for goals and their uniqueness and the circumstances of the games and what's at stake all play a part in it. But the Olivier Giroud goal was unbelievable. Scorpion kick. He sets in motion the attack in midfield. He's coming back to the ball inside his own half. With a little flick, it's like flicking a light switch. All of a sudden, the attack is off and running. Now he turns, and he runs 65 yards. The delivery comes in behind him, and he spears it out of the air from a longer distance than Mkhitaryan's, the one that was produced for Manchester United. Both great goals. But Giroud's, I mean, a couple games into 2017, you just saw the goal of the year in the Premier League. There's a lot of games to go, but because of the elements of this goal, I think this is going to be the goal of the year. 713-780-3776. Let's get your thoughts. So Giroud starts it. He finishes it. He runs 65 yards. He then provides improvisation, you know, to lunge in the air with the ball behind him and hit it with his heel, basically. But then it has that extra special thing that will make it the goal of the year in the Premier League. Yeah, it might be a stretch to say that with so many games, but it's going to be tough to beat this. And that is wow factor. And you know why there's wow factor? Because it hits the underside of the crossbar and goes in. Unreal goal, one that only a player dreams of. And a goal that's going to be remembered in history for its uniqueness and its rare nature. It's like sighting a white tiger. It was rare. And it was unique. It was Olivier Giroud for Arsenal. 713-780-3776. Is it the best goal, in your opinion, you've ever seen based on execution? Wow factor? The buildup? If not, what's the greatest for you? And the criteria is wide open. I mean, it could be a goal that wins a World Cup final. Could be Götze's goal for Germany, simply because of what was at stake. But from an execution standpoint, a wow factor, rarity, uniqueness, wow. Giroux's goal was pretty insane. I might call it sick. What's on your soccer mind? We begin 2017 here tonight. The best in soccer talk, 713-780-3776, self-proclaimed. And I reiterate, this show is fueled by you, the great guests who call in, the great listeners, your opinions. Please bring your opinions. Do not hold back. Agree, disagree. No one's going to shout you down because, you know, we're moving away from the norm of society where you just shout down and you never accept or take into consideration anybody else's opinion. We debate. And I don't mind you calling me out if you don't agree with anything I say, and you should. You got to hold the host to the fire as well and other callers. We have differing opinions, but that's what makes the show go round. No one here is going to take the ball and go home. You know, like a baby. Poor officiating still sitting at the top of the agenda for many fans when it comes to football. All you had to do was watch the Manchester United game. Second goal for Zlatan Ibrahimovic. It's inexplicable. He's a yard and a half offside. The linesman's right there along the 18. He sees everything. The pass that made to him is only 7 yards away, so he's got a sight at when the ball's passed and where Ibrahimovic is. He's clearly offside, and this guy doesn't raise his flag. I mean, how do you make the mistakes on just the basic ones? I get some of the others because of the speed of the game now, the athleticism, how fast things happen. But when you're positioned well and you're looking right at it and you don't raise a flag, it's just mind-blowing to me. The Zlatan goal, how is that linesman not raise the flag? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN is the number to call in here tonight. So we give the thumbs up to the scorpion kick by Olivier Giroux. I'm calling it the 2017 goal of the year. It's not going to be beaten because of all the elements involved. And elements make goals special. The wow factor was there. So that's the thumbs up. It is the best goal, or is it the best goal you've ever seen? Now, here's a thumbs down. Now, this comes from a guy that worked on the local organizing committee. And we're going to get to the phone calls here in a second. We'll get to James first. But before we do that, big thumbs down. Houston Football Association. This is the amateur men's league here that's been around for so long, 40 years plus, I believe. And this one kind of saddens me as a member of the Houston soccer community for so long. And this should, you know, we got to take a long, hard look at what we do as a soccer community and sometimes look outside of what we do. Whether you're a guy running a youth club, believe me, I've been there, done that. Whether you're a board member on the Houston Football Association and acting like it's the Premier League and not using common sense sometimes. And making decisions based on your soccer community and the constituents in it. So recently here in Houston, we host the NCAA Men's College Cup. This is on national television, okay? College soccer, men's, in a city where we supply college soccer players, male and female, to colleges and universities around the country. Still have the issue of not having enough Division I men's programs here. So let me take this to a local level, having been on the local organizing committee. The local organizing committee, headed up by Rachel Kwan, we reach out to the Houston Football Association. All we ask for is, hey, could you do a couple of email database send-outs to all the players in your league, all the players personally in your league, and remind them that we've come up with an incentive that gives you a ticket for less. So, and it's a league, the HFA, that has tons of ex-college soccer players in it, okay? I used to put my youth teams in the league back in the day. And you get the runaround. I mean, you would just think that somebody would go, listen, no problem. It's Houston soccer. We're on national TV. We'll help you out. You know, how about if we do three or four quick hits on a database? Can you send us the information? Boom. Done. Done. But no, it has to go by everybody. And it, you know, we only do that for sponsors usually. And, you know, and you're just sitting there going, seriously, do you get it? it's head scratching to me, and it just bothers me so much because, you know, it always comes down to a couple of decision makers running these leagues, and a lot of times, I hate to say it, their vision and look and take on the game is not expansive enough. And this is a problem in Houston. We have an amazing soccer community that touches so many people. But man, do we get singularly focused only on our little deal. Now, how is that hard to send out a couple of emails to your database in the league? Nobody was asking you for your database, HFA. We simply were asking you to be a contributor, to be a part of it. I mean, I would have brought the people on my radio show to promote your league. It's just mind-blowing to me. So a big thumbs down, Houston Football Association. You can do better than that. And you should do better than that, quite frankly. Local organizing committee reaches out to you. Simply send an email to the players in your league, and it only goes out to the managers. So now you're wondering if the managers are going to be able to pass it on. And it's not as easy because they can't look directly at an email with all the information. Countless emails, phone contact, lack of decision-making, can't deliver. Truly a missed opportunity. Let's remember soccer community down here a little bit, huh? It's a head-scratcher. It's sad. If there's anybody with the HFA, please feel free to call in, 713-780-3776. If you're in the league, call in. If you're an ex-college player playing in the league, I hope you call in because, you know, look, part of our legacy here in Houston, whether you like it or not, is producing players that are capable enough to go on and play at the next level, which most of the time is college. We've produced our amount of pros as well. I don't understand why some are threatened to helping out other levels of the sport when it can benefit everybody. How do you miss that? There should be an overlap of helping each other out. Simply a joke. I'm shaking my head here. 713-780-3776. Let's go to James. James, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, Glenn, just to add to your point about the soccer community helping each other out, I just want to thank you on behalf of the fans that if it wasn't for you, this tournament wouldn't have had a good showing. And shame on those youth coaches that promised they're going to bring their teams in to watch this event and did not. And it's just mind-boggling why they didn't. But, you know, this is they're selling college, they're selling recruiting players like, we'll get you to college, and they don't get anyone to college, but yet they're still selling it. And one of the biggest show in college season is here, and they don't show up, and it's just a shame. And you're absolutely right about that.
No, it is a shame, but I just want to correct you, James. But just before you go on, let me correct you. I'm not the only one who worked on this. Okay, the local organizing committee was headed up by Rachel Kwan. I'm using all my platforms to promote this thing because not only was I calling it on TV, forget about that. The most important thing was this is our city. This is my city where I came as a 22-year-old. I felt a sense of pride in us putting something out there that was good. Now, 11,000 tickets were sold. They weren't there at all the games. I think there was 4,000 or 5,000 at the games. And people are like, oh, it's a great step up from last year. Well, last year stunk. It was in Kansas City, and nobody was at the games. I mean, it was better, but it was hard for me to process after that when things like what I just cited here with the Houston Football Association go down, because we should know better than that. Come on. We help each other out here, and you've just pointed it out. I think Space City sold 400 tickets, so thank you, Space City Football Club. And then we had a meeting, and I'm not going to mention the clubs, where there were guys there representing these clubs, had all kinds of ideas, were willing to talk, and then at the end of the day, guess what? They didn't sell any tickets on consignment, none. And then they'd start not showing up to the meetings the last couple of days. I probably should mention the clubs, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to be like that. But you know who you are. James, can you stay with us through a commercial break, and then we'll get back to you?
Sure, absolutely.
Can you do that? Okay, because I'm up on a hard break here. Let's get to a commercial break before we go. Hey, a quick word here for Bayern Munich. Get down to Bayern Munich, one of the great soccer-watching spots in Houston. Bayern Munich, get down there, say hello to my friend Raymond. It's a wonderful open-airy spot. Football fans, you're going to like it. It's right in the heart of Midtown. It's Bayern Munich on Louisiana, bayernmunich.com, 2616 Louisiana, a Soccer Matters pub, and also the Gorgeous Gale. If you want an Irish pub feel with that Irish feel, then the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Soccer fans, Gorgeous Gale is at 5555 Morningside. Drive over there, catch all the best soccer and football matches. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings are there as well. Say hello to my friend Peter. Open field, lots of monitors, outdoor patio. Gorgeous Gale, the place to be. TheGorgeousGale.com, an official Soccer Matters pub. We'll take a break. We'll take more phone calls. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Walker, looking to turn on the afterburners. Cuts it back for Eriksen. The cross comes in. Delhi's there! Oh, what a goal that is! A magnificent header by Delhi Alli! And the deadlock is broken at White Hart Lane! Chelsea's winning run jeopardy. Tottenham 1, Chelsea 0. Delhi Alli at the back post, being tracked by Azpilicueta. He goes to the right and Walker. It's a lunging tackle by Alonso. Eriksen with the cross to the back post. Opportunity at number two. Delhi Alli does it again. Three straight games with two goals. Delhi Alli for Tottenham doubles the advantage. Is the winning run about to end?
That puts chills down your spine. Just listening to that audio on those goal calls and the fans at White Hart Lane. 2-0 today for Tottenham Hotspur. Dele Alli lighting it up. Those goals from Dele Alli brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light are longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters. So get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters and football, your sport, the global sport. It's American grown and imported. For the latest concerts, festival happenings in Houston, get over to Facebook and like Bud Light or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now as we welcome you back. A number of things to talk about here today. Spurs over Chelsea, Dele Alli with two goals in this one, both via the air. Dembele, Eriksen shining in midfield from a creative standpoint. Hugo Lloris coming up with a timely save against Diego Costa early in the second half. People are talking about Dele Alli now as the future of England. They're comparing him to Scholes and Lampard. One of the Neville brothers did that on the broadcast. Real Madrid's already tracking Dele Alli. So big win for Spurs. Now third in the Premier League. Chelsea, a 13-game winning streak broken, which pretty incredible under Antonio Conte. So we'll talk about that tonight. We can talk about the Dynamo. Are you optimistic about some of the changes that are being made? The number to call in is 713-780-3776. Before I go back to James, because he does want to talk about this goal, the scorpion kick. It happened behind him. It is a goal that is unique. It is a goal that's rare. Let's take a listen to Olivier Giroud's goal that had the world of soccer on its edge.
The punch it. I think of Ibrahimovic setting up Martial yesterday. To a big striker. Arsenal got five breaking here. Sanchez. Behind Giroud! He's come up with it! Full chance early on. What about this?
You just look at my commentary line out. You never thought you'd see something like this again. It actually looked probably, but it's higher, it's more difficult probably than Mkhitaryan's. Mkhitaryan's was incredible. This is frightening.
This is frightening. Well, you saw it by now. If you haven't, go over to Facebook Soccer Matters. You can catch it there. All right, let's go back to a very patient James. James, thank you very much for waiting through the commercial there. Continue your thoughts.
Well, I thought it was a great goal, and I thought it created so much excitement for the fans and just a wow factor. But like you said before, it's the criteria of the goal, and I see all these postings on Facebook and Twitter. But the criteria is just not going to give it its worth, I think, of the goal. I certainly feel that, like you said, you know, 86 Maradona when he dribbled against England. That's, you know, as the biggest criteria, not only with soccer, but with the political sense of the goal. Also, I think that's still always going to be the number one goal in soccer, no matter what anyone says. You know, the goal that Beckham maybe scored in the free kick to get England to the World Cup, or, you know, the one where Bulgaria knocked out France out of the World Cup. I mean, those are the goals with criteria that have a lot of more weight than this goal, but it's certainly great and entertaining that I thought it should be the goal of the year. But besides that, I think criteria is more important as well. Just like when Messi dribbled eight guys in against Albacete or one of the lower-level Spanish teams, as compared to Maradona's goal, but certainly, it's you know, I want to see him do that against Chile or Germany or England, and that was the argument with that goal. So definitely great goal. I just wanted to put my historical sense on this.
Yeah, and again, I think it's criteria. I just got a text here. Let's see, from Connor. Connor says, at Glen Davis Soccer, why are we shaming a private organization for not promoting for-profit events for free? That's ridiculous, and you should be ashamed. Well, first of all, Connor, I'm not ashamed. I'm a big believer that a soccer community works together. I don't care if they're a private organization. They can do more than just run their league, especially when it's full. And you missed this because you weren't listening, Connor. You missed the fact that their league is made up of a ton of college players. All the local organizing committee in Houston asked the Houston Football Association to do was send out an email to their database. Is that really asking too much? And I'm not ashamed, because I've been down here since 1984, a part of this community, and I think some people that are in the soccer community ought to be a little bit ashamed for not getting behind other people's events and being so singular in their vision. So that's my response. And, you know, look, if you think I was shameful in calling out the HFA, listen, I'm not assassinating their character. I'm just saying I think they can do more. And I think a lot of the youth clubs can do more, which you pointed out, James. And you've been in the youth game.
Clint, I also wanted to say a comment that you talked about. I thought a few shows ago, I haven't been able to watch it or to hear the shows, but in podcasts, you mentioned something about, you know, the marketing and the journalism behind that goes to all these events. I also thought the NCAA committee didn't market this well, and I think the problem was there wasn't like a commercial or, you know, show Todd Ramos going through the college ranks, being one of our greatest players in his country's history.
Why show Todd Ramos? Show, we have our own locals here. We had Chris Bondi. Well, we had the Baba brothers here in Houston. All these guys have played in leagues like the HFA. I'm just saying, I know what you're saying, but I'm just trying to reiterate that the HFA.
No, but Glenn, I agree with you.
Just stop for 1 second, because I want to make this point, because I'm pretty fired up about it, because we're so singularly looking at things only in the here and now. We have tremendous history in college soccer. We've had guys who've won, as you know, the Herman Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman. They've played in the HFA. You know, we got to start putting 1 + 1 + 1 together to make this a little bit better soccer community. All people asked for was a little email to be sent out to your constituents. Okay, go ahead.
So to that point, you know, they should probably put, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brian Ching was the face of Houston Dynamo and someone that's going to be in the Hall of Fame for this club. They should have put him playing soccer in college and then see him play the Dynamo in the U.S. national team. There wasn't that built up from the marketing standpoint. I think it always fails, and it's because you don't have soccer people doing soccer marketing. And, you know, this is a thing that we can improve on as an NCAA committee, and I think we can improve on locally. I mean, there's got to be better marketing support, your organization and all the volunteers that are putting all the grassroots work into this commitment. And I think it just, is it NCAA's top priority? Probably not, but it should have at least marketed been a little bit better from the NCAA as well, not just the local committee at Houston.
The NCAA has got to do more for this as well. But, you know, you don't have to. You can do things in spite of things. And I think locally, again, when youth soccer players are being exported, youth soccer players are being told by these soccer clubs that they're going to try to help kids get to the college and university level. Those kids are now working jobs and coming back and filling the Houston Football Association as ex-college soccer players, and it's a great league. There's incredibly talented guys in it. There's ex-pros in it. There's ex-college players. And to get a runaround, you know, and not get somebody just to send an email out to their entire database after an effort's been made to provide cheaper tickets to them and a more cost-effective ticket because somebody's thought about the fact that we're trying to tie the college game in to the HFA and all these other levels, it's mind-boggling to me. And I'm not ashamed to bring it up, and I don't know why somebody would say that. Call in the show if you think it's that shameful. I don't think it's shameful. I think it's an awareness piece, and we can begin to debate it and talk about it. But I think sometimes we get people running leagues and teams, and they do need to think a little bit bigger. That's all. All right, so back to your...
Well, Glenn, thanks for your time and your thanks for your time, all the hard work you put in last year for the show. Great, I'm a big fan. Thank you. Have a good night, Glenn.
James, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it. So James, he likes the Diego Maradona goal, which obviously is timeless and ageless, and it did win a World Cup. And like I said, the criteria can be different for everybody. But boy, this was a wow factor goal from Giroud. This was a goal that branched into mainstream media. These are the types of plays that do. So that's a great piece. If you have a goal that you think is your most indelible goal in history, it's 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Here's a couple of other pieces of really cool news, and I want your thoughts on these too. So the U.S. staff, I don't think this is a surprise, Dave Sarokin, longtime assistant to Bruce Arena, Pat Noonan, Kenny Arena. This is basically the L.A. Galaxy staff. Matt Reese will be the goalkeeper coach for the U.S. national team under Bruce Arena. And then Thomas Rongen, the head of scouting. Again, a lot of Bruce Arena connection. 713-780-3776 is a number. 713-780-3776 is a number. Your thoughts on the staff that Bruce Arena has put together? Do you like it? Women's perspective, Crystal Dunn will go to Chelsea Ladies, who had an outstanding season last year. Alex Morgan is already headed to PSG. I don't know. Some of this has to do with making sure that players are playing and staying fit here, especially with some of the political things going on with the U.S. women's national team. We have talked about the Dynamo and some of the choices they have made. And I'd love your thoughts on this. 713-780-3776. I put the question out. Are you optimistic? Why or why not that the Houston Dynamo are making some changes here? Are you optimistic coming into the season? Certainly the on-field product is going to be better. I'm going to not be a genius saying that up front. It's going to be better. The overall team speed has been addressed. With some of these players, you're getting stronger characters mentally, guys that are going to have some desire, more desire. I don't think the team is desirous enough the last couple of years. The team is getting more youthful. The team has added penetrators with these signings. Who's going to bring the soccer intelligence? Who's going to recognize the counterattack? Who's going to be making the decisions on the ball for the Houston Dynamo? But with these acquisitions, the team is instantly more entertaining. They're going to be introduced tomorrow. They need an out-and-out leader. And I have a feeling it will come from amongst some of these signings. And I think you would go right to Adolfo Machado, the Panamanian center back, or Juan David Cabezas, the ball winner in midfield. These guys are going to have to quickly become leaders and add a bit of an edge to the Dynamo. So we're going to talk all these signings, what I think they're going to bring, and I would like to know what you think they're going to bring. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here. Quick word here for Budweiser. Get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of soccer here in Houston. Your sport, the global sport. It's American grown and imported. For the latest concerts, festival happenings in Houston, get over to Facebook and like Bud Light or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. We'll take a 7-Up break.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Look, there's a rule in the Premier League that you cannot play 48 hours later, so it must have a reason. So I don't mind. I can play every day as long as our opponent has played the day before as well. You know, that's all you want.
Well, that was Arsene Wenger talking about the amount of controversy around it always happens this time of the year with Boxing Day and the congestion with fixtures in England, aka games. Chelsea had a pretty favorable schedule here, had a couple of days, extra days rest against Spurs. So, you know, you can see how, from a competitive standpoint, it is something that, you know, is controversial. I mean, you hear it every year in MLS when teams have three games in 1 week. It's a fact. It's not going away. It happens, and you got to get over it. But there is no doubt that outside of today's game, a lot of the kind of extended third game in 7-8 days, the quality certainly was down. You could see fatigue in players. I mean, the Manchester United game, I think, was one that you could certainly see it 2 days ago. So it's, you know, it becomes an issue. It can become a crutch. It can become motivating. It can be a lot of different things. I don't think there's any question. So that was Wenger and Arsenal. And, I mean, look what Arsenal did. Down 3-0 to Bournemouth, comes back, gets a 3-3 draw, and then, you know, in his sound bites, he's talking about the character of his team coming back, not the totally abysmal first 45 minutes. So there you go. Nice note here from Nathan Cooper at Facebook Soccer Matters. Says, Happy New Year to you, Glenn. We enjoy the Soccer Matters show. Looking forward to better seasons from our Houston teams. Hashtag Forever Orange, hashtag Dash On. Manchester United, 2-1, as I mentioned, over Middlesbrough. That was one of their results. They're making a move now. Things are getting a little bit better under Jose Mourinho, a lot better. Manchester City ended up in a draw. Still does not struggle there. Landon Donovan, there's been some talk about Donovan getting offers from two Major League Soccer teams, including Real Salt Lake, where our good friend Craig Weibel is a general manager. I think there's mixed emotion about that. All right, so let's begin to talk about some of the moves the Houston Dynamo made. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here. Now, when we went to break, I mentioned some of the Dynamo needs, and there are a lot of needs, okay? There are a lot of needs. Remember, before the 2016 season, it was termed a rebuild. It was all about Owen Coyle coming in and now having a second year. It was about a playmaker and Christian Maidana. It was about a wide game with Andrew Wenger. And the Dynamo promptly, in the three opening games of the year, score 11 goals. Everybody's mind is blown. And they end up 19th out of 20. Coyle leaves. Wade Barrett takes over on an interim basis. And it's a rough year. And the team has now, for a number of years, lacked a lot of things. I think some intestinal fortitude. I'm sorry. Desire. Overall team speed. Style of play has been so methodical. An inability to recognize opportunities to up the tempo on the counterattack, which is a must in this heat down here, is being able to play at different tempos. And obviously, you have to slow it down in 90 degrees. You can't play a pressing game for the whole time. 713-780-3776. A lack of penetrators, right? A lack of somebody to really play through. It didn't work out with Maidana, although a talented player. He had flashes, couldn't do it consistently. Kubo Torres was a bust, and he's back. He's a reclamation project. He's a restoration project, and there's no better guy to get it out of him than the manager, Wilmer Cabrera, because he scored goals for him at Chivas USA. But I think Kubo Torres' career now, this is a career-changing year for him. 713-780-3776, an out-and-out leader. I mean, I know for a couple of years, Eddie Robinson and I on broadcasts have just talked about a lack of a leader. Who is the leader? Who's the face that embodies the dynamo? 713-780-3776. So before I get to talking about some of these trades, let's go to Miguel. Miguel, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going? Just listening to your show and wanted to talk about transfers and what's going on with the supporter groups for next season. Got a chance to talk to Kubo Torres the past few days and Alex Lima, and looks like they're excited to come back, and they just keep asking questions about how the people look at the new players and if they think they're going to be great additions to the team.
Yeah, I think so too, Miguel. And you and I had some good back and forth on Twitter and talking about players and all. But, I mean, look, I mean, where they were last year, you and I know 19th out of 20th in, overall in the league. A team that really, from an attacking standpoint, was very tame. And all of a sudden you've got, you know, some real good pace here with Kyoto. You've got pace with Ellis. You've got youth. We've got people that we now feel can penetrate and break opposing teams' lines up, which that in itself makes it exciting because it's been just such a methodical team. And you know, it's not going to put people in the stand. And you said, I think you used the word the show. And when you say the show, you mean the entertainment value, and I'm right there with you. The entertainment value has to improve in order to bring people back to that stadium.
Definitely. I mean, if you look at the first years when you had Vero, King, Brian Mullen, that was a team. That was a good show. When you went to the game, you were guaranteed to watch a show. You were guaranteed to watch goals, and that's been gone for a while now. We haven't got that back, and I think the people want that. When we were talking about number 10, the first name that comes to mind was De Rosario. I mean, he was one of the best players this team has ever had. And
you'd argue he was the best, and people. People forget the entertainment guy, that value that that guy brought to sew it all together. And, you know, I'm like you, Miguel. I want to go to a game knowing something unpredictable could happen. And when Dwayne was on the field, you knew something unpredictable could happen. Now, the curse of that great teams of 6 and 7, and they were great teams, it might just be they set the bar so high here. But I think the pedal was taken off the foot. I think absentee ownership was a big problem as to where we are here today.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the team has changed so much that back to 06, 07, like you say, it was a show. You went to the stadium and it was a show. You wanted to come back. Nowadays, you get lucky if you get a tie. I mean, that's how it is. I mean, there's not that many goals anymore. There's the spark is missing. That spark in the midfield, everybody wants to score, but nobody gets the goal. So now you have four forwards. Who are you going to bench? I mean, you got goal scorers, and who's going to be on the bench?
No, I think it's great. I think you've also, you know, you're addressing leadership now. You're addressing overall team speed, as you mentioned. You got a guy that's an intimidator at the back now in Adolfo Machado. You should have an intimidator in Juan David Cabezas right up the spine of the team, who's a ball winner. He's good on the ball like most Colombians. Him and Machado could bring that new edge and competitive spirit, a bit of an intimidating factor, but the spine has been strengthened. He's on loan from Deportivo Cali. So I think there is a lot with the on-field product to be excited about. And I think, like you probably think, these moves have a lot of Wilmer Cabrera all over them, don't they, Miguel?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, even the guys, the players, spoke about Wilmer being a good coach, a good leadership. Like you say, the center back, I mean, having Agus, he's a strong player, physical, Machado. It reminds me like that time with Crain Wable was in the back and Eddie Robinson. I mean, those were two top defenders and people were scared to play against them. The Dynamo was a very physical team. And playing at home made it harder, but I think we were missing that. Those two physical players in the back, technical, and I think they're going to bring a boost for this team.
Miguel, thank you. I'm on a heartbreak. Great stuff. We'll get you in studio here sometime, and we'll do a bit of a roundtable. Thank you for calling in tonight. Great opinions. We appreciate it very much.
No, you're welcome, Glenn. Have a good evening.
You too. All right, let me tell you about Bud Light here. Longtime sponsors of soccer, get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light, they support your sport, the global sport. It's American grown and imported. For the latest concerts, festivals, happenings in Houston, like Bud Light Houston on Facebook or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. Reminder, podcast of this show at podcastarena.com. You can also get over to Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and we always appreciate you listening in. Okay, we're going to get our interviews rolling here. Coming up very, very soon, we will hear from Warren Barton, Dylan Remick, and Tom Marshall. We'll take a quick break, 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5.